2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Can you believe it? The Jazz Notes podcast has returned.
It feels good.
It has returned. My name's Cleon Wall. I'm one of the hosts here. And then our other host here today, Spencer Hall, joining me. Actually, it's funny. Spencer and I have been trying to hook up for, about a month now or something like that.
It's hard with schedules.
Yeah. We have regular jobs, and it's hard to actually team up every once in a while. So, yeah. But we're here.
We're here, and we have a lot to talk about. The Jazz season is over, but the NBA season never ends. And last night was one of the great Twitter meltdowns of all time. NBA Twitter, everybody was saying this online. It's the best league in the world, partially because it's all personality. And last night, The Ringer published a story accusing Brian Colangelo of the Sixers to have five burner Twitter accounts, and that he's apparently been tweeting team information out, supporting himself coming in. It's the old thing, don't jump into the comments. But it made me think, how many people out there in power are running five burner accounts and just trolling online, finding mentions of themselves, and then posting anonymously? I wonder if all
the
Twitter...
You did that at KSL, didn't you?
Never.
Yeah, you had like at least two, right?
No.
You're like, my gosh, KSL.com.
Never.
Those guys, they're the worst.
Never. But I wonder sometimes if some of the crazy accounts... I have a theory. This is something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, by the way.
Okay.
That... someday we're going to find out that all these accounts that we see online that we think are just spam, all these accounts that we think are just inviting us to make bad business decisions, that are inviting us to do all kinds of weird things, someday we're going to find out that they were all being honest and that they were an actual person who really wanted us to make a lot of money working from home. You know, they were, every spam account, someday we're going to find out, was a real offer that we refused
no,
to...
No.
I'm just saying,
it.
I think that's a possibility.
I don't believe it. No. But I mean, man, have you ever even thought about doing this? Have you ever thought about getting burner accounts or, you know, posting anonymously, whether it's on Twitter or posting anonymously on a website? Or I just never... It's never entered my mind. I've always, when I tweeted stuff out, because of who I work for, there are times that I've wanted to tweet stuff out, and then I look at that, and I'm like, I really want to keep my job. So
yeah,
let's delete that, and maybe either A, make it friendly, or B, not even tweet it out at all. Most of the time for me, didn't even bother doing it. But I don't know why. Why would you waste your time even doing this? Why would you even want to go on and, you know, release information? I guess there's that feeling like maybe when you hold a secret – all of us have held secrets at one time.
Yeah.
You feel like you need to tell someone.
Yeah, it's that old dig a hole and say it into the hole somehow. That's the internet version of doing that.
Yeah. Is that what he's doing? Is he just like, man, I got to get this information out. I just have to get this off my chest. I'll do it on this burner account
that
I have.
But it's crazy. Even if it's not him, I mean, all the accounts were talking about games that his son was playing in. There are things that all the information ties back to him. So if it was a hoax or somebody was trying to like frame him, they were doing a really interesting job following his life. It's kind of crazy. I'll just tell the only time that I have used an alias online.
Oh, he has done
when
it.
When I sign up for things online, I use an account named after a roommate I had in college who, when he would go to parties, he didn't like to use his own name. And so he used this name, and I started using it when I would fill out forms. Like if you had to do something, you know you're going to get a bunch of spam. I would use this name, and I would every once in a while log in to see if I had like won something or I had it. I logged in one time and I had an email from somebody who was from Turkey. And she said, oh, I have the same last name. The last name was Hergel. And so she's like, I have the same last name, but I'm from Turkey and I've never met anyone in the United States with that name. And I wrote back and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I think I had created a Facebook account back when you had to be in a network. So I think I wanted to connect with somebody out of my network. So I used the fake name. She logs in and she's like, oh my gosh, are we family? I wrote back with my real account. I said, I'm so sorry. This was a fake account. But we ended up corresponding and it's been like 12 years and we're still friends. And one of my friends was traveling through Turkey, I think last summer or two summers ago. And I said, hey, this is kind of weird, but you should meet up with my friend, Nur, who lives in Turkey. And they ended up meeting up and had an amazing dinner together. And it's just kind of it's one of those internet things that's happened that I think is such a strange world.
How did we go from fake accounts to bringing people together through fake accounts?
That's how it goes.
And are either of these people big Enes Kanter fans?
She is not. She does not support his politics. So,
well, he's been in trouble with what, his dad, his whole country.
Yeah, he has some. He needs some burner accounts, is what he needs.
I would never. I don't know why. Maybe it's just honesty. Maybe it's because I just feel like I could do so many other things with my time than come up with burner accounts. There are so many things I'd like to say to people, and I just decide not to do it. I just wonder what the impetus of wanting to have a burner account. We've seen other people have done. Kevin Durant, I believe, had a burner account too.
Yep.
You know, for whatever reasons he wanted to. I guess you want to find out. If you're a famous person, maybe you want to make comments about yourself that's positive. Maybe you want to find out what other people are saying about you. I guess that's there, but
I think when you're famous, you want to be anonymous. And when you're anonymous, you want to be famous.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
I mean, how many times do you go on Twitter and you're just like, hashtag this? You're trying to get as many people retweeting or whatever it is that you want to do. You know, we're trying to do that because we're trying to gain followers to listen to our podcast or whatever the case may be, read a story on KSL.com. Whatever the case may be, we want to do that. And these guys are trying to, you know,
They don't want anyone to know who they are. You know, they want that opportunity to go out to the grocery store and have no one notice them. But, I mean, back to what we were going to talk about with Donovan Mitchell, he goes ahead and posts on the Players Tribune one of the most incredible essays of all time from a player. And I tweeted out, this guy has only been on the Jazz for one season. And by the way, if you haven't read that, please go find it and read it. You've probably read it. If you're a Jazz fan, you've read it already. But this guy, in one season, this is a bold statement that I'm going to make right now. In one season, he's become my favorite Jazz fan of all time. Favorite Jazz player, excuse me.
Wait. I've got a song just for you.
Okay.
It's a love story, baby, just say yes.
I wasn't expecting Taylor Swift there.
No, it's not because you're a Taylor Swift fan. I don't even know if you're a Taylor Swift fan, but
I mean, we all are.
I mean, you've been throwing love at Donovan since we started this podcast.
Yes, yes. But here's the thing, and I've talked about this too. Besides being so good at basketball, I just can't believe the way he understands the communications game. And we've talked about how he's not just good for a basketball player. He's good for any communicator. And to understand, to give that love, I mean, not to throw shade at Gordon Hayward, but it took him six seasons and leaving before he could even say anything about the team. And then we didn't want to hear it. We didn't want a Players Tribune post from you at that point on July 4th after you ruined our barbecue. I mean, for Donovan Mitchell to come through with an essay like that, he had all the team execs even seemed floored by it. I don't even think they knew it was coming. I think that they were as shocked as anyone. Like, I can't believe this guy fell into our lap. We got him and we can build something really special around him.
But who is that for? Who is this letter for? Because the obvious answer is fans. You'd say, oh yeah, this is for the fans. Thanks a lot. You guys were there with us. You know, we're going to bring you a championship. Hopefully next time we see you at the airport, we're going to have a trophy. But was it just for them? Because I don't think so. Kind of like LeBron, every single message he has out there, it's planned. I think maybe it's too strong, but I'd say I think this letter was more than just for fans.
Who do you think? What was the audience for you?
I think there was a lot of people out there. First of all, he picked out a few players, By the way, why did he pick out those players in that? He picked out Ricky. He picked out Dante. He picked out mentioning these are the guys we have on our team. In that letter, he mentioned.
But he hits all. He hit all the starters. Really?
Yeah, yeah. He hit all the starters. And he hit Jay Crowder and he hit Joe.
Yeah.
So why didn't he include the whole team?
Oh,
are we nitpicking now?
Yeah, I'm going to
nitpick a little bit here.
Yeah, no, I think these are clearly the guys he's closest with. There were some guys he didn't mention who are in his Instagram story every day. So these are guys he's clearly friends with. So I don't think he was leaving people out. I think he was talking about the guys who were key to the run this year, who were special. I mean, he doesn't need to shout the ninth guy down on the bench, I don't think. I don't know. I didn't read it that way, but that's an interesting read. I think this is actually why I think he's so good, because he's willing. Some guys would overthink it and think, oh, I'm going to leave someone out, or I'm going to blah, blah, blah.
Like me.
And he seems so genuinely, like, in the moment, the walk-off interview, when he has no preparation, he hasn't had time to think, he's so wise and eloquent in those moments that I just think he has a real sense of what he wants to say. He has the confidence to say it, and he has the people around him that allow him to do that. And even in some of my conversations with Jazz people, I'm going to name drop sources here, but I've been told that their only concern in the organization is that they don't want him to to wear himself out. And so they're saying he's so great that, hey, don't feel like you have to be everything to everybody right now. And he doesn't seem like that to me. He just seems like a total natural that wakes up in the morning, does his thing. And what his thing is great. He's great at basketball. He's great at being a human. He's fun to watch. He's fun to follow on social. I could not be a bigger fan. And I'm going to say it. He is my favorite Jazz player of all time.
Do you remember that 70s song or 80s song? Loving you is easy because
I like that every time
beautiful.
I say he's my favorite Jazz player of all time, you just have to, your only rejoinder is a song.
That's my whole life, Spencer, right there. Everything in my life goes back to some song from my childhood that is really cheesy or something like that. And people sit there and go, how do you know that? And I said, everything important in life, I don't know anything about. Anything unimportant in life, I know plenty about that. So you see nothing more than this was just for fans. This was just fan service. Hey, we love you. You know, I love Salt Lake City. I love the organization. I love you guys as fans. You, everything there. I just have to feel that there's more to it than that. Maybe even throwing out those players out there. Think about the players he mentioned. Okay, let's think about Ricky Rubio. Only 1 year left on his contract. Dante Exum, who he mentioned, he says we've got a dynamite backcourt. Well, Dante doesn't have a contract yet. I mean, his contract's going to expire soon. He's going to be.
So you're saying this is a message to the team? Here's my five guys I want back.
I'm not sure it's that, but it's basically, look, we got a good nucleus right here. Hey, management, maybe you want to keep him together, or was it even more?
Did he mention Favors?
No, he did not. He did not mention Derek.
Interesting.
He did not mention quite a few guys. In fact, the guy who's hung out with him the most this season.
Royce?
Yeah, Royce O'Neal. He did not mention him either.
Wow, he's coming back.
Now. I'm not sitting here thinking he's throwing shade at people.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that this is a subliminal message saying, hey, we need good players on our team. Here are some of our good players, management. Do you want? I'm not sitting. I don't think he's right there saying right now, if you want me to stay around, you need to keep good players on this team. But we already know what happens if things aren't going to go in the right direction. We've seen what players will do when they become free agents at times here with Jazz.
I know, but he just doesn't seem like the type to make demands like that. He is setting a level of excellence, and the front office is trying to match it. And I think there's a good balance between the two. You remember back in the Karl Malone days, there was always such a tension where he felt like, give me something more than Greg Ostertag. Please just give me somebody to play with. I've got John Stockton and a bunch of yahoos, you know?
So they gave him Greg Foster instead.
And listen, I liked me some Greg Foster.
By the way, no offense to Greg Foster.
No, he's turned into a great coach, and he just wasn't at the level that they were at. But they were giving him Luther Wright. They were giving him some of these other. Also, no offense to Luther Wright, who I once interviewed on a radio show, and it was one of the most interesting interviews we've ever done. But I don't sense that same tension. what I get is everybody being on the same page. Everybody has the goal of a championship, and he's simply echoing what the whole team wants to get out of him. It's a dream come true for the front office to have a guy that young be the kind of leader he is. And I thought it was fascinating to watch the veterans follow him as a leader this season. He was such a natural leader that even a guy like Joe Ingles, who would kind of, you would imagine him kind of not allowing a youngster like that to come up through, he seemed to be right along with him too.
Okay, so let me read you this sentence. This might cover the whole team, okay?
Okay.
So I want to make sure. We've got this group who is going to do it all, both on the floor and in the locker room, in guys like Jay and Joe. I don't know. Maybe that sentence covers the team. He does talk about the coach.
Maybe it was
here.
Just alliteration. Maybe he just wanted a nice...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But he's not. He does not have the cachet right now because he's just coming off his rookie season.
Oh, you don't think?
No. Wait.
Oh, I think he has superstar cachet.
No. Time out. I think he has superstar cachet. We already know he's the best player on this team. At least overall.
Sure.
Best player on this
team. For sure.
Okay. But I don't think he has the cachet to go to management and say, this is what I'm looking for. Not yet. But I think it could come in the future. I think that they will. They're going to want him to stick around bad enough that they will probably go to him and say, okay, what can we do to help this team out?
I think they're already there.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not sure about
that.
You know something and I don't, but I'm just saying, looking at it, you know, a guy just coming off his rookie season, I know he's the best player on the team, but are you ready to consult him on, you know, guys that you're going to sign and not? Because right now, if you're going to talk to him right now, at least publicly, he's probably going to tell you, I like all the guys on this team. I'll go to bat for him. I want to play with them.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is he still seems like he's coachable enough that he's at a point where he's still a sponge. You know, the coach can still go to him and say, we need you to do this. We're bringing this guy in. We're going to do this. And I think you're right. I think he's still at a place where, you know, they're going to put things around him and tell him, like, look, we need you to do this. Trust us. We're going to put you in a good position to succeed. And you're right. A couple more years down the road, he'll start kind of going into GM mode where he's going to say, look, this is my guy. Bring this guy in. Do this. But I have this difference of opinion with Jeremiah Jensen where I think Donovan Mitchell is the cornerstone to the team. Rudy Gobert is obviously critical, and I love everything about Rudy Gobert, but I really think that the soul of this team right now is Donovan Mitchell and will be for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years.
I think you're right there. The one thing, I have nothing against Rudy at all. I think he's great for this team. It's fun to have him on this team. You love his attitude. You love what he does on the defensive end. He's improved offensively. You'd like to see a little bit more improvement. But the one thing he cannot do is he can't create his own offense.
Right.
And that is detrimental.
Right.
I mean, no matter what you say, the best players in the game right now, they can do both. They can play defense and they can play offense, unless you're thinking about Steph Curry or something like that. But
he's a great defender. He plays both sides of the ball. He's great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, so
I'm serious. That's the biggest surprise about those Warriors. They're lockdown defenders. It's crazy.
Yeah, the majority of them are. I'm not saying Steph's not.
He's no Steve Nash out there.
No, that's true. That's true. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you are going to be a superstar, you need to do both.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it all the time.
Right.
But you're going to be able to need to do both. And so Rudy will always be one of the good guys on this team, but he's never going to be the superstar that you would like to see on this team. He's going to do a lot of great things, but he's not the superstar.
Right. And we're even seeing that from the Giannis, some of his kind of contemporaries who are freaks of nature, crazy length, all these things. We're seeing them bring the ball up the court. I mean, we're seeing these Joel Embiid types and these Giannis types that are just freaks on that offensive side. So, yeah, he's going to have to add some things to his game on that side. He's obviously transformational on the defensive side. But I think things rise and fall with Donovan Mitchell for the next foreseeable future.
He said all the right things in this letter to
the
fans. He said all the right things that will get fans excited. And I think even players reading this, they're going to say,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's another audience I thought was interesting.
I think we're going to get behind this guy. So he's saying all the right things. Does reality ever set in? Or do you think this is just who he is?
I think it's who he is. That's what has been the biggest surprise to me. He's so authentic with what he does that that's his real superpower. I mean, he is a Spider-Man, but his superpower is, I'm just a really fun, interesting, smart guy that everybody likes being around, and I'm a natural leader, and I'm really good at basketball.
I want to disagree with you. maybe he gets jaded over time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm worried about that.
But I think on the whole, he's such a positive guy that even if he gets jaded, it's not going to be by much. I think he's always going to be positive about this team unless they really hit some huge bumps in the road or unless they get, you know, get to the finals and they come up short and then there's maybe some sniping back. But I don't even see that from him. I just don't see that from him. That is not him, at least not right now. And I'm not sure I ever see that from him.
Yeah. No, he's going to be special. And I feel like even if he left basketball and did something else, I feel like he would be good at anything he tried just because of the way he lives his life and the way he conducts himself. Those kinds of attributes are hard to find in any walk of life. I feel like he could, you know, take anyone's job and do it well.
Jeremiah and I talked about this in the last podcast a couple of weeks ago here on the Jazz Notes podcast. We talked about I kept hearing in the media, and I just want a quick response from you on this. We kept hearing in the media the Jazz are just one player away from being a great team. So what type are they? What type of player are they one player away from? What kind of guy do you want to want the Jazz to get this offseason?
Well, obviously, the easy answer to that is a swingman like Gordon Hayward would be really nice. I don't know. I'm such a terrible GM. I always say this, that I never know anything about the open market. I know that's a cop-out, but I think the real fun thing to watch is what happens when you try to get the most out of the guys you have on the bench. So, I don't know, maybe...
You want everyone to come back,
I know,
don't you?
Like, maybe we get a DeMar DeRozan, we get some kind of... I don't even know if that's a possibility. I'm just throwing out names. You get some guy. I think the Jazz are now in a position where they're a destination, and it hasn't been that way for a long time or ever. And I think we're going to start seeing some interesting free agent things because guys are going to want to get on a team that's on the rise like this.
You know, I had a friend of mine say that, you know what, I have a feeling... Paul George might come to the Jazz this offseason. I had a big smile, and we talked about it a while.
I don't want him.
And then in the end, I said, it's not going to happen.
And I don't want him. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't love his game, and I'm out. I'm out on Paul George.
Oh, wow.
Already.
Wow. I like Paul George still, even after the series against the Jazz. I get it. But I think if he came here, I think fans would embrace him.
Well, for sure.
I think they'd see what kind of a player he is.
Well, I'd embrace him, too. I just, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the... Stand around and be cool. I mean, he's an incredible shooter. Those shots he hits are just unreal. But I don't know. I just don't love his game.
Love and diving. Oh, by the way, who are you picking for the finals? Is it too easy?
You know
Same
what?
Warriors?
You know what? I think the Cavs are going to get two. I think it's going to be 4-2.
Okay.
No, we're not going to have the gentleman sweep. We're going to have two wins by the Cavs. I love that LeBron made it back. I don't know why, but LeBron in the finals just feels right.
I was kind of hoping for a Rockets Celtics just for something different.
Yeah.
But I'm just not surprised. I will have to say, I'll admit, I'm just not as interested. Four straight years in a row, and LeBron doesn't have the team he could have. And the Warriors look kind of beatable.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun to see them play a team that would give them seven games or at least six games. And I think it's going to be five. I think Warriors are going to take it in five. So,
I don't count out LeBron.
All right. Okay. I don't expect you to. All right. This has been the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll be back with you coming up in the next couple weeks and definitely before the draft and after the draft. Make sure you download us on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else. And you can also listen to us on the KSL News Radio app. This has been a production by Spencer Hall. Both of us, by the way, wearing shirts and ties today. So we brought our A games today. We hope you have an A game day today. Sure, why not? All right. Have a good time, everyone.